We are going to be talking a lot of SEC basketball, of course, concerning the state of Alabama with the two teams that we have here. And to do that, one of the best in the business, Blake Lovell, who covers Southeastern Conference basketball as well as college basketball in depth. He is the assistant editor for Blue Ribbon Yearbook, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. Blake, how are you today?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on, as always.
And we appreciate it. Historic day for Auburn's basketball program. First time it has happened since 1948 when the AP polls actually originated. Auburn is number one in college basketball. According to the Associated Press, they get 45 first-place votes. Gonzaga coming in second with 15. Did you ever, Blake, in as good as Bruce Pearl is, Auburn has been to a Final Four, the resurrection, or I guess just it's a new day for Auburn basketball. Did you ever believe in your wildest dreams that Auburn would be ranked in the regular season number one at any point?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think back, and certainly you don't have to tell Auburn fans this, where the program was when he took over. And, I mean, even then, it's like, you expected him to turn it around eventually, and you know, it took a little time. And, I mean, it didn't happen overnight. But even at that point, you're thinking, man, you look how kind of where this program is, and as bad as they were at times, it's like maybe he gets them there, but it's hard to make that prediction that they're going to absolutely become the number one team in the country. And I think that's the biggest thing now. And, I mean, you just kind of see the trajectory of this program. And, I mean, look, I've always said that I think one of the things that he doesn't get enough credit for is just his ability to find the right players, but not just that, it's to find the right players that match what he wants to do from a philosophy standpoint of just playing style and all that, but how he develops his players. Like, to me, that's the biggest reason why Auburn is the number one team in the country, is because if you look at it over the years, his Auburn teams, for the most part, I mean, find me more than a handful of guys that have not gotten better in his program and who have come in. Yes, maybe they're five stars, four stars, whatever, but they just get better. And I think that, to me, like, it goes way beyond anything else. It's like you have to develop your players to the point to where, you know, they meet those expectations that you have. And I think he's been able to do that pretty much with all of his teams, and it's kind of accumulated over time now to where it's like, all right, like, we just have this ball that's kind of rolling and rolling and rolling. And finally, you know, it hits its destination now as them being the number one team.
Blake, now that we've hit the midway point of the conference seasons in men's college basketball, if you compare it to last year, and this is not an indictment on Auburn or any other team that's near the top like Gonzaga, but where is, do you think, the overall play, the quality of teams this year compared to last year at this time?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I think we know last year we were all just looking at Gonzaga and thinking there's a really good shot this team does not lose a game and runs through everyone. And, you know, if we had just looked at a team like that and thought we have not seen a team like this in a long time. But then, you know, you could look around and say, well, you know, you've got those other teams like Baylor, of course, who winds up winning it. And, you know, Michigan, there was a lot of talk about Michigan and some of those other teams. I mean, really, even at times, Alabama was in that discussion. But, you know, this year it does feel, you know, a lot more wide open because, you know, Gonzaga has lost games to this point, which we had not had at this point last year. Baylor is good. I don't think they're as good as that team last year, but, you know, that's not to say that they're not good. And then, you know, you've got some of these other teams that you look up, like in Arizona, who's been a big surprise. I think they can still win a national title. It's kind of the same with a team like UCLA and, you know, some of these other teams. But it's different because I think last year's had such a unique set of circumstances with that Gonzaga team and even Baylor, who started to really look like that at one point down the stretch there. You just had these two overwhelmingly better teams, you thought, than everyone else. And I don't think you have that this year. And, you know, I think you've got a little bit more of a wide open field. And again, I mean, that's to me, like, it's Auburn is, they've earned that spot at the top. And I think it's because they've proven that while some of these other teams maybe have slipped a little bit, in terms of comparing their strength from this year to last year, Auburn's just kind of gone up, and they're right there at the top. So,
your overall impressions of Alabama, it's kind of been a helter-skelter season so far for the Tide. They're coming off a three-game losing streak. They righted the ship a little bit with wins against LSU and Mizzou, but Mizzou had them by 14 points in the second half. They had to mount a furious comeback to get that win. They're at Georgia tonight, which that should be a W, but overall, the inconsistencies with this Alabama team, does it concern you right now, midway part of the SEC season?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, for anyone that's kind of hanging on to the belief that this team's going to be able to match, I think, last year's team in terms of consistency, I think that's very far-fetched. I just think we've had too much of a reference point to say it's just not there this season, that they don't have that same consistency, and that's led to them losing some of these games they shouldn't lose. And, I mean, I think that's kind of what it comes down to. And, I mean, for me, it's pretty glaring. And, again, if you've watched Alabama, you know exactly where I'm going with this. But, like, they're just not a good defensive team. They're way too inconsistent on that side, and they just – at times, you know, you can't play the way they do on defense and be able to have success. And I think that's probably the most frustrating part for Nate Oates is you look at last year's team. I mean, think about how much defense mattered last year in terms of, you know, pushing their offense too. Like, it wasn't just they were a good defensive team last year. Their defense helped their offense, which, you know, we can certainly say in a lot of different areas. But it's like that to me, they're not getting that extra something. And yet they're still a very good offensive team. They don't shoot it as well from outside, but if they just had that extra something that they had last year on defense, we'd be having a completely different discussion. And so that, I think, is going to be something that, you know, is probably going to hold them back from being able to make that deep run in the NCAA tournament, because you just don't know what you're going to get. And like you said, I mean, they're, you know, I don't want to say they should have lost the game against Missouri on Saturday, but they put themselves in a position where, you know, it took a huge effort not to lose that one. And if you're doing that against the Missouri team that, while it's getting better, that's not a very good offensive team for overall. And so I think that's got to be very frustrating for Alabama. But, hey, they better get it together in this next week and a half or so when they start to play Baylor, Auburn, and Kentucky back-to-back-to-back. That's when we'll learn a little bit more, probably.
We're hanging out talking SEC basketball with Blake Lovell, who is the assistant editor for Blue Ribbon Yearbook. You can follow him, interact with him on Twitter, at @TheBlakeLovell. There on Twitter, and he joins us on the Bud Light Hotline. So, Blake, when we look at the conference and moving away from Auburn and Alabama, we can come back to that. But this Florida team, Pat and I were just discussing it. They're really, really hard to figure out. Mike White, he got the contract extension, so his job is safe, it would appear, without, say, a big buyout coming from Florida to get him out of there. What's going on with the Gators? Because they're a hard team to figure out, and really the last 3-4 years they've been a hard team to figure out.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, kind of goes back to what I just talked about with the consistency with Alabama. It's like Florida's been probably the most inconsistent team in the league over the past 4 or 5 years or so, because, you know, there have been points, what was that? I don't know if it was 18 or 19, whatever. You know, they started the season so well. I think it was out there in the PK 80 or whatever it was. You know, they look like the number one team in the country, and then that team just, you know, they weren't consistent the rest of the way, and they just sort of, you know, didn't meet those expectations. And now, this season, you know, what happens? They get off to a 6-0 start. They get impressive wins over Ohio State and Florida State. And, well, I mean, you lose to Texas Southern at home by 15, who had not won a game to that point in December. And it's like, you just never know what you're going to get. And now, you look at that game last night, you know, they just don't play well at Ole Miss. Now, certainly, big reasons, because their best player's not on the floor. Colin Castleton's out with that injury. And I think it's like, I don't know how they're going to win games without him. They need him to kind of be on the floor. I know they did against Mississippi State and Vanderbilt, but I don't know how they're going to beat top competition without Colin Castleton. So that becomes an issue for Florida because, honestly, guys, I mean, if they don't make the NCAA tournament this year, which by no means right now is a lock, I mean, they got to start finding some wins here somewhere, because right now they've probably got one real quality win, and that's Ohio State. But beyond that, there's not much. And so if they don't make the tournament this year, I think a lot of questions have already been asked, but I think more start to be asked about whether the expectations were not realistic to think that they were going to be winning back-to-back national championships like Billy Donovan did. But I also think the expectation was not for Florida to kind of settle in to maybe being the fourth or fifth or sixth best team in the SEC versus being the first, second, or third best team every year. And unfortunately, I think they've kind of settled into that former category.
We can all agree, I think, that Auburn and Kentucky's probably right now number one and number two in the league. But when you start looking at 3, 4, 5, it's kind of a log jam. And all those teams are going to start jockeying for position because you want to get that double bye, so to speak, at the SEC basketball tournament. You want to be one of the top four teams. So in your opinion, is it Texas A&M? Is it Arkansas? Is it Tennessee? Is it LSU? Who are those teams there trying to get that third and fourth best record in the SEC?
Yeah, I still think at full strength, and that's the big word, because LSU is just not at full strength right now unless Xavier Pinson gets back on the floor. But if they can get him back soon enough, I think LSU is the third best team in the league. Again, they've kind of put themselves in a position, though, to where they're 3-4, and you know, quite frankly, don't have a lock to beat A&M on tomorrow night. But LSU's schedule the rest of the way is pretty favorable compared to just this brutal start they've had in the league. I don't think anyone had a tougher first half of the schedule than LSU and SEC play. I think ultimately they're the third best team. I think Tennessee's probably the fourth best team. With Tennessee, it's just like they still do some things to frustrate you on offense, but they are just so dang good defensively, minus the game against Kentucky, that it's like it's hard to bet against them, I think, in that scenario. So I'd be surprised if there's any other order other than, you know, Auburn and Kentucky, whatever order that is, Tennessee, LSU. And then beyond that, that's where you're talking about, you know, your Alabamas, your Arkansas. I think A&M and Mississippi State are the two most interesting teams because I think Mississippi State has, you know, the talent to pull it off, to finish in the top five in the SEC. I think A&M is a lot better than people think. And just haven't gotten enough credit because they really don't have any of those big wins this season, except for the one maybe against Arkansas. So those are the two teams I would watch to say, can they kind of be the ones to push for that? Because right now, you know, they are. They're the third, fourth best teams in the league. But I think ultimately LSU is probably the team I'd put in third, Tennessee fourth, and then to kind of take your pick between Alabama, Arkansas, A&M, and Mississippi State probably.
All right, Blake, so Alabama's opponent tonight, they're not very good. Tom Crean and the Georgia Bulldogs, only five wins, winless in the SEC. What are you hearing? What are the rumblings, the tea leaves saying about Tom Crean and his future there in Athens?
Well, I'd say he'd probably like N'Kobe Dean or some of those guys to walk through the door and play defense because they're not good on defense. And I think that's been their biggest issue. You know, it's interesting, guys, because like if you actually, and this is going to sound wild, but Georgia's 5-14, which you don't see very often from an SEC team at this point in the season, but they're probably not as bad as their record indicates, because if you look at it, they've actually played pretty close in some of these games for the most part this season, but, you know, that can only take you so far. You got to win some games, and I think, you know, look, they're 0-6 in league play. There's a good chance, as you said, they're going to be 0-7, and if you look at the rest of their schedule, I'll be honest with you, like, I see maybe one win in there somewhere. If Georgia goes 1-17 or 2-16 in the league, I just don't know if you're them. How do you? This is year four, right? Like it's not like it's year two or something. And I think there's a lot of questions because they went 2-16 in league play in his first year. If they're 2-16 in league play in his fourth year, I mean, like it or not, that sort of to me tells the story. So I think Georgia's going to have some pretty interesting decisions to make, and I can't imagine that fan base is very happy if that's kind of what they're looking at, which right now, unless they just get dramatically better, I think that's probably a real possibility.
All right, finally, Blake, we asked you this a couple weeks ago, and again, this is just speculation, but your thoughts right now, is this a 7-8 or a 9-team bid league this year?
I think it's funny because before the season, I would have said, I think 8's a real possibility. I think now 7 max, and it maybe wind up being 6. And I don't think that's an indictment on the league. I think it's just, you know, those top 6 could be really, I mean, Auburn, Kentucky, like to me at their best are probably both top 5-ish teams. Like I think we saw that kind of in how the game played out. If Ty Washington plays a little bit different, but, I think Auburn, Kentucky are locks. I think LSU, Tennessee are probably locks. That's 4. I think Alabama will get there based on their strength of schedule, as long as they just don't completely, you know, go into a downward spiral. So that's 5. Arkansas, I think, will find a way. That's probably, you know, your 6. And then I think it's, all right, does one of those teams from Florida, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, I don't think all 3 are getting in. I probably don't see 2 of those 3 getting in. I think it's probably one of that group that gets in. And then, quite frankly, barring any changes, I think you can sort of eliminate the bottom 5 teams at this point. I don't think any of those teams are going to really make a push. So I would probably predict 7 right now, but I don't think it's going to be any more than that. But again, maybe 6 actually may be the more likely number, depending on, you know, whether A&M can build a resume, Mississippi State can build a resume, or, you know, whether a team like Florida, if Castleton's out for an extended amount of time, maybe they just can't find those wins with him not on the floor.
He's Blake Lovell, the assistant editor for Blue Ribbon Yearbook. Follow him on Twitter at the Blake Lovell. Always great stuff, Blake. We're at the midway point. We'll talk to you hopefully a lot more this season. We appreciate it.
Sounds great, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Blake Lovell, Blue Ribbon Yearbook, joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Carefully brewed with a clean, crisp taste. When there's fun, Bud Light is there.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.